Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for keeping your promise and coming in the form of a humble baby. Thank you for not remaining that baby, but keeping your promise also of growing up to be Savior and Lord, reminding us that you were God in the flesh, in human form, that you died on our behalf so that we have hope for eternal life. We celebrate tonight because you kept your promise. You kept your promise to connect us back to you for all eternity. It is a blessing and privilege to worship you this evening. So we thank you, God. Jesus, thank you for your work on a cross that makes it possible for us to be redeemed and to be made right with Almighty God again. We thank you for coming as a baby, humbling yourself when you didn't need to. Thank you. Thanks for all that you taught us about following you, including teaching us how to pray. And so, Heavenly Father, hear us as we pray back to you the way Jesus taught when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. All right. Once again, I say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Backroads. Glad you are with us this evening. I'm glad you're here. As we've worked on this series called Christmas in Narnia, we're reminded, C.S. Lewis, the author of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, reminds us that as we deal with things that are natural, there is also a supernatural going on. That our God is not ordinary and natural, but he is also supernatural. He's above and beyond, on a different level than we are as human beings, and so we can trust him as our God. And so we've just kind of worked our way through this, and again, we've used this children's book, so to speak, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, to learn about God's redemption plan for his created human beings. That's us. And so we can learn from that. Well, tonight we're talking about the wardrobe. We've taken time to talk about the lion. We talked about the witch last Sunday, and we'll finish up talking about her next Sunday. But tonight, the wardrobe. Hey, anybody ever watched Sesame Street? If you've watched Sesame Street, maybe you remember the song, "Which one of these is not like the other? Which one of these doesn't belong?" Well, maybe the wardrobe is not like the others. Because you think about the lion, incredibly supernatural, powerful, courageous. We think of the witch, the supernatural evil, and the powers that she has. And then we think of a wardrobe, a clothes cabinet. That's pretty ordinary. Ordinary. You know, when I thought how ordinary a wardrobe is, I got to thinking about how do we determine what is ordinary and what is extraordinary? Like, how do we determine which one's which? Now, maybe because it's Christmas, or maybe because we seem to be having some sort of epidemic around here. But I started thinking about babies. And so as your pastor, I wanted you all to be the first to know that Sarah and I are not having any more kids. That's from 30 years ago, and we're not, okay? So I just make sure we're clear. Anyway, it seems like many babies are like getting ready to be born here in the next few months, and it's not Sarah and I, but there are many who are. So I started thinking about babies. Are babies ordinary or extraordinary? Because no matter where you go in the world, there are babies. Most of us were babies once, right? And so where there are humans, there are babies. So babies would seem to be very ordinary. That's common. It happens all the time. Okay? But no, I'm going to argue different also, because babies are extraordinary, aren't they? Even though they're everywhere, you get close up to a baby, extraordinary. You think about a baby, extraordinary. You're related to a baby. You're a grandma or grandpa. You're a dad. You're an aunt. You're an uncle. Babies are extraordinary. I'll just ask, how many of you this Christmas season do you get to spend time around a baby? Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a grandbaby or a great-grandbaby or whatever. Do you get time to spend around a baby? Good. Don't miss how extraordinary they are. Extraordinary. Well, tonight, as we think about extraordinary, and babies and supernatural. Well, let's go back to Luke's version of the first Christmas. And we're going to read parts of it. But again, my encouragement to you is tonight, read Luke chapter 2. We can't get through all of it. I've just got to pull a few verses for this evening. But take time to read through that so we know the story and we know why we celebrate. And so the setting is this. We're going to go into the fields outside of Bethlehem. The shepherds are serving. It's at night. They're on a late shift and they're watching the sheep of their masters, those who have hired them. And so they're outside Bethlehem and they are informed about a baby. Here it is, Luke chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "And you will recognize him." This is angel speaking. "You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." That's pretty ordinary. Except that the shepherds are in a field with sheep, and suddenly these angels appear and light up the sky. Pretty ordinary. Like a baby? That happens every day. Wrapped in cloths? Well, that's what they did back then, and we still swaddle our kids, right? So that's not odd. Lying in a manger? Well, lying in a feed trough is kind of strange, but if there's a census going on and the town is really crowded, yeah, I get it. In this simple, humble setting, we find something supernatural. And I'm going to put the definition of that back up. Merriam and Webster, here's their definition of supernatural. Of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe, especially of or relating to God, spirit or devil. Okay? Relating to those things. So, how do I discover? If that's supernatural, and the things of Scripture are supernatural because they are of or relating to God, those things that are not visible, observable, but it's there. That's what Scripture tells us. That's what our Bibles tell us. So if that's the case, how do I discover the supernatural this Christmas? If I want to discover the supernatural in the ordinariness of our lives here at the end of 2024, we need to do three things. Here's number one. Number one is we need to look. We need to look for God intentionally. We need to look for God intentionally, if you'd write that down. You know, I'm continually amazed by our culture. Our culture seems to have kind of an open-mindedness as we look, okay? Seems to have an open-mindedness about things that I'm not sure they're believable, but people buy into it, and they buy into it a lot, right? So they believe anything is possible. There's a lot of people, many people, don't hear me wrong, there's many people who believe UFOs, that's possible. Sasquatch? I don't know. That's possible, right? Loch Ness Monster? It's possible. I don't know. And we believe it's possible. And as a culture, as a society, as an era in humanity, we just have this tendency to say, I believe that's possible unless you talk about God. Like you mention the name of Jesus and people start to say, but that's not possible. Now, I can believe in this other stuff, but that's not possible. Sasquatch, yes. Jesus, no. Baby, manger, uh-uh. I'm not buying it. So, let me just ask, how many of you, if you've seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and if you haven't, let me encourage you to watch that or pick up the book or whatever, but The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So, if you've seen it, yay, so you already know what's coming. Otherwise, a little bit of a spoiler alert here because here's part of what happens. Let's get back to the story. The children are playing hide and seek in a large house outside of London where they're staying with a professor, etc. And there's reasons for that. You got to watch the movie. You got to pick up the book, okay? But Lucy, the youngest of the siblings, she hides in a wardrobe. It's a big clothes cabinet, okay? It's filled with coats. And she is hiding in there, and she's hoping not to get caught, and so she keeps backing up through it, and she's backing up through the coats and trying to hide behind the coats. And suddenly, she doesn't feel the back of the wardrobe anymore, the back of the cabinet. And under her feet is not the wood of the cabinet. Now she's feeling snow under her feet. And instead of the warm coats around her, now she has branches of trees hitting her. And it is through that simple, ordinary wardrobe that C.S. Lewis reveals that through that ordinary, there is a path to the extraordinary, a supernatural world. Lewis reminds us that there is more in this world than what we can probably see. It's supernatural. It's not observable, visible, as we saw in the definition. But there's more than meets the eye. In our ordinary, there is more going on. Like we go through day to day, and we don't recognize that there is more going on, at least according to God's word. There's more happening. And it's supernatural. You know, sometimes we get so stuck in our natural world of things that we can see and things that we can touch and things that we can hear and smell and all those things. We get so caught up, and we get caught up in our logic so much, we get stuck that we no longer can see what might be supernatural. I get so focused on the things that are natural that I don't stop to think, and I know, out of sight, out of mind, but I can't see it, but what is out there? What is there? Do I need to pay attention to what God says? Now, how many of you, just a quick question, how many of you were kids once? Any of you? Okay, some of you. You were kids once? You know, as kids, we believed a lot of things, didn't we? We had fun believing a lot of things. But then we got older and we got smarter. And logic set in. And we stopped believing. If I can't see it, if I can't prove it, then it can't be. Well, Jesus had something to say about that. You know, he had a bunch of kids who loved to be around him, and the disciples kept trying to shoo them away because in their culture, kids were not supposed to be around the adults, and that was one other thing that Jesus changed in our world when he was here. But they were trying to shoo all the kids away, and here's what it says, Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, it says, "But Jesus said, saying to the disciples, 'Let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children.'" They have a belief like these children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who will pay attention beyond what they can see. They need to be like these children and believe. You know, we miss out on God in the supernatural because we forget to look for God intentionally. We forget to believe. And we're told again and again in Scripture that we need to believe He is who He says He is. Even though we can't see it, we need to believe. And so at Christmas, there were some, that first Christmas, there were some very logical people who were looking for God. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to jump to Matthew, away from Luke, over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw the star as it rose, and we have come to worship him.'" Now, there's a lot of speculation about where these wise men were from, or were they educated, were they royalty, was it just, you know, were they astronomers, what were they? But they were fascinated enough by what they were studying to say that must be God. I'm not sure what's going on, but that star is different. And there's something amazing going on here. And they were very wise men, because they're called wise men, right? They were very wise men who were logically thinking, there's got to be something more. Something must be happening. So here's what we know, these wise men, these logical men, they came seeking a king. They came looking. They were intentionally looking for God. If we want to see the supernatural, we must look. We must seek. You know, Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, preached a Christmas sermon once, and there's part of what he said in that Christmas sermon. He says, "If Christians would join the wise men," they were seeking God, right? "If the Christians would join the wise men, we must close our eyes to all that glitters before the world and look rather into despised and foolish things." Despised and foolish things. In other words, don't get caught up in the glitter of all the logic that you think you know. But look into those things that people say, "You are foolish to believe that." That's kind of what Jesus said. You need to trust me. I can't explain it to you, and why do I need to? Believe me. Believe in me. You know, we get just so distracted by the logic that we have and the things in the natural that I know I can control. There's one of our problems. I know I can control that, and I know I can see it, and I know I can do this, this, and this, and that will happen. I know how it's going to turn out. But don't ask me to go into the unknown. Don't ask me to think about the supernatural. And so when we get caught up in the logic, we miss out on the supernatural things of God. And so we look for God. And God doesn't hide from us. Sometimes we think God's out there somewhere and I'll never find him and whatever. But here's what Jeremiah says. The prophet Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's your memory verse, so that one's easy. Go ahead and mark that, okay? If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So you don't look for him haphazardly. No, wholeheartedly. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And maybe you're like many, like I just said, many who think that God is out there distant somewhere and will never find him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever played hide and seek with a really little kid? Like, I remember one of our daughters used to she would go hide and she would say, I'm going to hide on my bed, come find me. All right, but if you've ever played hide and seek with little kids, like I'm going to go hide and like, you know, they come into the room, oh, you found me, right? Why? Because you're standing in the middle of the room and you're not making it hard to find you, right? So you're playing the game, but you're really just letting them find you. Well, same with Jesus. If we look for him intentionally, he's standing in the middle of the room. It's not hard to find. Here's a problem. Sometimes we look for God in rituals. I think I can achieve it. I think I can control it. If I just do this or do that and hop three times and spin around twice and this, if I follow all the rituals, then I'll find God. I'll follow all the religious stuff and then I'll find God. As long as I can control it and I can do it, then I'll find him. But maybe God shows up in our daily life and just meets us where we're at. We just need to pay attention. When we look intentionally, we recognize God in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools, in our families. If we look intentionally, we will find God and that he's active in our lives. We'll find him. So God wants that. Number one, look for God intentionally. The second way we can discover the supernatural in the ordinary, remember there's three ways. Here's the second one. Number two is listen to God intently. If you'd write that down, listen to God intently. So we're going to look for God intentionally, then we're going to listen to God intently. So as you are intentionally looking for God, God says you'll find him. And when you find him, God is not silent. God speaks. He speaks truth. He speaks into our lives. He speaks into our lives in ways that will help us, not just now, but for eternity. But he speaks into our lives. What does God speak? You ready? He speaks on this night that we celebrate, Christmas Eve. He speaks peace. Peace. God speaks of deep, soul-level peace. It's not the peace like we think of, because sometimes, I would say that most of us, we have this innate need to look for comfort or peace. Like, I want that in my life. I want it to be settled. I want things to be calm. I don't want the chaos. I want the peace, right? And so I believe that we all have a desire for that, and it's innate. It's part of who we are, created by God, that we want that peace. The problem is that most of the time we look in all the wrong places to find it. We look for peace in our purchases as we come around Christmas, right? If I can just buy that, if I can just have that item, if I can have that item, then I will have comfort and peace. Then I'll be okay. If I can just purchase that, maybe we find peace in alcohol or chemicals. That doesn't last very long, does it? It wears off. We look for peace in our work. Man, I devote my whole self to my work, and man, if I can just accomplish this or accomplish this, then I'll have peace and comfort. Our activities. Man, if I can just go do this today. But they're all short-lived, aren't they? Sometimes we look for peace in unhealthy relationships. If I can just get that guy or that girl to accept me and say that I'm okay, then I'll be okay. Even if they're not okay, at least I'll be okay because they said so. That doesn't help us, does it? It ends up hurting us. And so we look for peace in all the wrong places and it doesn't work. All those that I just mentioned, those are simply just distractions from the reality of where peace comes from. Those aren't peace. Those might relieve stress for a short period, but it wears off, doesn't it? Luke chapter 2 verse 14 says this, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." With those whom God is pleased. Peace on earth. Now, sometimes we say peace on earth. Oh, no more war. No, that's not what we're talking about. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. In other words, no matter what's going on around me, I have an inner peace while I'm still in the chaos of this earth. I have an inner peace. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. You know what God has an offer for you tonight. Peace. Peace for those who are pleasing to God. You know, the shepherds are in the fields. Going back to Christmas night. Shepherds are in the field. They're outside this little town of Bethlehem. I should write a song about that. Anyway, so they're outside this little town of Bethlehem. And the shepherds in the fields, they're doing their job at night. And they're in the middle of a bunch of ordinary, aren't they? It's ordinary sheep. It's ordinary fields. They're ordinary shepherds. It's an ordinary night outside of an ordinary little town. And then the supernatural showed up in the middle of the ordinary. Angels appeared with great news. And you know what they said? Hey, fellas, would you like some peace? I mean, wouldn't you want some peace? Like real peace? Let me ask you, how are you tonight? How are you doing? Are you feeling peace? Or maybe tonight you're feeling like stress and unrest and some turmoil. As long as we're thinking about tonight, we're at the end of 2024. Let's think about 2024. How was that? How was it? And then as we think into the new year, what can you do different in 2025 to get better at listening to God? If He's offering us peace, we need to listen. What can I do better? Maybe ask yourself some questions, all right? Here's the first question. If God brings peace, how am I living to please God? If God brings peace, how am I living to please God? Number two, do I know more about who Jesus is, who Jesus biblically really is, than I did last Christmas? Number three, how can I discipline myself to grow in my faith in 2025? How can I discipline myself to grow in my faith in 2025? Maybe that's taking time for worship, putting it on your calendar. It comes almost every Sunday. Maybe it's our Bible reading. And so we listen to God, we read His Word. He offers peace through forgiveness and a relationship with Jesus. You know, our Bibles tell us that if we don't have peace, maybe we need to offer forgiveness to someone before 2025 rolls in. Number one, we already said, God intentionally, we look for God intentionally. Number two, we listen for God intently. The third step to discover the supernatural in the ordinary. Now, we got to write this down. Number three. Number three is live for God intentionally. Live for God intentionally. If you'd write that down, live for God intentionally. Live for God intentionally. You know, when we look for God and we start to find God, when we listen to Him and accept His offers of forgiveness and peace and life change, when we do that, as we discover God's supernaturalness, as we discover God's supernaturalness, we find that God is worth living for. We find that God challenges us to greater commitment. Like He moves in our lives and He challenges us to live this out. And so we live for God intentionally. Greater challenges. God challenges us to greater commitment. And as we find out who God is and what God's done for us, we don't dread serving God. Like, it's not drudgery, but a delight. Because we figure out God's God and I'm not. And He's offering meaning and purpose and significance, and I can have that in my life while I'm still on this side of eternity. I want to do that. We all want something to devote, worth devoting our lives to, and I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is worth it. I know you've heard that before in church, right? But I'm telling you, Jesus is worth it. He's worth devoting our lives to. And so as we find out who God is and what God's done for us, those commitments, again, they're not drudgery. We go after it. Back to our story of first Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, here's what it says. It says, "But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Now, just quickly, Jesus names three things there. He says Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And I want to talk about those just quickly, just real quickly. The first one is Savior, like Savior. You know, in their culture, when someone was a slave, they could be purchased by another master, but they were just purchased and then they were made a slave again. Our Savior, as Savior, Jesus offers to purchase us from our slavery to sin, but then He sets us free. He offers that we can serve Him, but He sets us free, at least from the sin, and we're saved from sin, which is huge in God's book. Not as huge in our book, but maybe it needs to be bigger, because it's huge in God's book. And so he saves us, rescues us from our sin. Second one is Messiah. And you know, the Hebrew word for this is anointed one. And in the Old Testament, we're promised a Messiah, a Christ. By the way, that's the Greek word for that is Christ. So when we say Jesus the Christ or Jesus Christ, we're talking about him as Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the King of Kings, who would be the world's Savior. God promised for hundreds of years through the prophets, through our Old Testament, just promised the Messiah is coming, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who will save you is coming. And gave details. Like in the Old Testament, we have details of what it's going to look like when the Messiah comes. And God kept his promises, and he kept the details as well. More on that another time. But Lord, so Savior, Messiah, Lord. Lord is this. Remember that freedom from slavery? That we can, you know, he can rescue us from our sin, and he can free us from the slavery of sin. But they had rules in the Hebrew world about slavery. If you were freed from slavery, you could still have an opportunity, and I can't go into the details, but you still had an opportunity. If you wanted to serve another master or serve a master, you could choose to do so. And there would be compensation. You'd be a slave, but you would be compensated and cared for, and your family would be cared for by that master. But you could choose to come under their power and do what they said. And so to be a slave, well, Jesus offers to be that master. If you choose to follow me, if you choose to come under my command, I will take really good care of you. And we can choose to follow him and choose to allow him to be master, and I get to serve him in this life. We won't be forced to serve Jesus. That's not what Jesus does. But if we choose to follow him, he demands complete surrender. Like, if I'm going to follow you, Jesus, I'm going to do everything your way. And I'm going to strive to do everything your way. I'm going to follow your ways. And so if we choose Jesus, he takes us from a life of natural and ordinary to supernatural and extraordinary. And it's worth coming under his guidance, his leadership, his lordship. You know, when Jesus is Lord, we want to serve him. We recognize over time how fulfilling it is. Man, my life has purpose and meaning as I'm about the things of God, the things that he wants me to do. And it's compelling. And like we've talked through this series, we get to choose to partner with Jesus. I'm going to partner with you to be about your business, that your kingdom is done on earth, or your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And that we're about your kingdom and nothing else. We get to make a difference in this world, and it's eternal. Listen, if we want to follow Jesus, one of the things he commands is that we serve other people. Here's what it says, Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. It says, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. When we care about the least of these, who are the least of these? Anyone we can help? Anybody we're in a position to help? And so we're in a position to help, as we've done year after year now, we're in a position to help orphans on the other side of the world, kids who were rescued from brothels, they were rescued from slave trade, they were rescued from drug rings, they were abandoned, and they were rescued and brought into these homes that we have a chance to help support. And so they're rescued and they're brought up, they're given clothing and education and get to meet Christ. I mean, they get to be part of a church, and those orphanages become a church even for their whole community. And so we have an opportunity, as you can see in the catalog in your program, we have an opportunity to give and to help. And I'll talk more about it here in just a minute, but we get to help build, you'll see this, we get to help rebuild one of the buildings in Cambodia in Elephant Mountain. And so, if you would, my friend Thad's going to talk about this, if you'd listen.
Matthew 1:23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the entire meaning of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. When we string up twinkling lights and decorate our trees and wrap up presents, it all means one thing. Emmanuel, God with us. And when hard times come, as they will, he is the one we lean on. He is our Emmanuel. He is our God who is with us. We just lost one of our buildings in Cambodia to an electrical fire. Lost a lot of beds, and bedding, lost our computers, our office. But mostly we lost precious space for our children to sleep. But no one was hurt, and our dear kids did not skip a beat, because they know, God is with us. In those faraway places in Cambodia and India and Myanmar, you will see the same Christmas lights, the same trees. You'll hear the same worship songs in our children's homes that we sing right here, because they know the same Emmanuel, a God who is with us. So as the music plays and you see their beautiful faces, those smiles are there because God's people, you, and other loving folks like you, reached out to them and lifted them and gave them a family and a hope and a future. They know Him because of you. You've done something wonderful in the world, something that changed everything for these beautiful children. Pray for them. They pray for you. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.
Waiting desperately, waiting, we long for the day when, oh,
again, let me just remind us that those are real kids. Those are real kids. Every kid that you saw, every face that you saw of those children were rescued from something. And they were being raised up in those homes, and there are more to be rescued. They're not done. And so there are more to be rescued. So every one of those, we've been at this for enough years, I can say pretty confidently, like every one of those kids, we had some part in helping them get rescued and raised up. We had some part in it. Let's keep that going. We have an opportunity right now to continue to plant seeds over in Southeast Asia. Who'd have thought, you know, a little southwest Wisconsin, but making an impact in Southeast Asia to continue to grow Christianity in those nations, followers of Jesus in those nations. Eternity's changing. And tonight, if you decide to give tonight, it is match gifted. Through Inner Hope, we're told that they have somebody who has watched Backroads, watched our church, and they've said, whatever Backroads gives, we'll match it. Whatever they give, we'll match it. And they said that they'll do it again this year to the end of the month. So they'll match that gift. And here's the other thing. Inner Hope has other ways of managing administrative costs, so 100% of what we give goes overseas, which means 200% of what we give goes to the needs of those children in those orphanages. Maybe rebuilding a building that took on a fire and lost, right? So we have opportunity to be a part of that. Wow. And so let me just encourage you, think about that. Now, as we wrap up, I want to talk about C.S. Lewis a little bit. We've been talking about his fictional world and this land of Narnia, but I want to talk about C.S. Lewis just briefly. Let's go to the nonfiction. C.S. Lewis was a sworn atheist. He was an Oxford professor, one of the brilliant minds at Oxford in his time, early to mid 1900s. And he was one of those brilliant minds, and he was against it. He was against Christianity, and the way he said it is, he said, I came into Christianity kicking and screaming, but the more I studied, the more I applied my logic to what I was finding in Scripture, the more I had to say, I have to accept Jesus. I have to accept that there's a supernatural, and it's beyond my mind and my capacity, but I need to trust Him. And so what he said was, he said that he came to Jesus and it melted the snow off his heart, right? Makes sense with Narnia. He said he came to Christmas, and then Christmas came to him. Have you had that experience? Because for C.S. Lewis, he went from Jesus being a Savior to being his Savior. He said he went from being a Lord to my Lord, and I followed him all of my days. Is tonight your night? If you think about it, one of the most brilliant, logical minds of the 20th century, C.S. Lewis, by his own study, said that Jesus is who he says he is. He has to be. And so Lewis decided it's supernatural, but it's real. Is tonight your night? Christmas Eve 2024. That's the night I gave my life to Christ. Let me encourage you to make him your Savior and your Lord. Well, here's the thing about the supernatural. When we experience it, we can't help but get ready and get excited about sharing it with other people. Well, that's what happened on that first Christmas night. Check out the shepherds. Here we are, Luke chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. It says this. They, that's the shepherds, hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They couldn't help. They had to go out and tell people. And everybody was astonished. No, really, we were in the fields and there were angels and we met this baby, and the baby is not just any baby, he's a Savior. You know, when ordinary people encounter the supernatural person of Jesus, they can't help but share it with everyone, because they realize what eternity is, and they realize that God holds it and we don't. They realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. And I care too much about my family and my friends to let them die and not know that. Because we're all eternal and we'll spend eternity somewhere. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell tonight? Who are you going to tell over the next few days? Is it your family, your friends, your coworkers? Who will it be? I know it's difficult. It's hard to share these things, but it's supernatural. And it's well worth it. So let me just say, Merry Christmas, everybody, and let's make it eternal. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for today, this evening, this opportunity that we have to celebrate your coming, the way you promised you would, and you kept that promise. And thank you, Jesus, that you were more than a baby, and you were more than just fully human. You were also fully God. And you came to redeem we, your humans, your created. And so we thank you, Lord. Would you continue to be with us as we head out of 2024 and into 2025. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, all right. It's been a great evening. Glad you have been with us this evening. Don't forget, as we head out of here, don't forget to think about Inner Hope. Also, you have an offering envelope that you can use, and you can put Inner Hope on that. If you're filling out a check, just make it to Backroads Church. That makes it easier for us in our managing of it. But also, fill out that connection card, drop that off. If you're a first-time guest, don't forget to grab that book that is our gift to you. Merry Christmas. It's unshakable. Hang on to that. Now, this Sunday, we're continuing. We're wrapping up this series on Christmas in Narnia. And again, we're going to discover, how do we overcome supernatural evil? Now, this weekend, we're all online. And so you can stay home, watch it online, but that is a great opportunity to invite a friend to come join you. Hey, join me on the website, join me on YouTube, follow it, and then we'll get together and talk about it afterwards, or we'll pick up the phone and talk about it afterwards. But you get a chance to invite somebody, and they don't have to come into a building and be scared, okay? So that's an opportunity to do that. All right. Hey, let me say it one more time. Merry Christmas, everybody.